on your, I know we're going kind of slow through these initial parts, but it really is, we've got a lot of practical things that we're coming up to in the second section. Actually, in chapter 3 here, when we look at reading skills, listening skills, those are pretty practical too. So we are going to get to that, but really the issue is our heart. What I wanted us to know too is that what we're studying is not rocket science. And I mentioned that a little bit before, that the book, and it can look to some and say, oh, that's too much for me. Or we could say, you know, we could be lazy or indifferent and not want to put the effort in. But we'll put the effort in to learn a new recipe or repair on the tractor or whatever. Maybe eternal things it's worth putting the effort in also. But this is not, I've designed the study. It's not rocket science. And I want to review too. Here's a question. What do you think about this? Do I speak for God or does God speak through me? What do you think about that? Do I speak for God or does God speak through me? I know it's somewhat a matter of semantics, so I'm not drawing a big black line in the sand or something like that. Do you have a thought? Well, basically, it's back to this delivery thing again. We're delivery boys, delivery girls. I think if we remember that and we make sure, there's something very wonderful about God speaking through you and through me. If you think about it, would you agree with that? Holy, righteous God who dwells in unapproachable light will speak through this person. Would anybody, we couldn't disagree with that, could we? Isn't that amazing? So I want us to look on that privilege, but also to realize that it's the stewardship that we have. So as God speaks through us, we want to make sure that, now, we're not going to do this perfectly. God will use our personalities. Some are more up, some are more down, some are very outgoing, extroverts, introverts, all of these things. God will use all of that. Look at his disciples, the differences there that we see. But I just want us to treasure the privilege that if we will put ourselves in the right place before God, if we will bow ourselves before him, humble ourselves before him, we're not just standing up teaching a class or sharing with a neighbor or sharing with your buddy Dick Smith. You have the opportunity, Marlon, and I know you know this, for God to speak through you to your friend Dick Smith. So it's God's word. We're the delivery boys and girls. And these verses, for I delivered to you. I know you've got these in the book, at least two of them. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. We deliver what we receive, what God gives us, and what a treasure. And folks, those are the only things that are going to last. We can give our homespun common sense, but it's only God's words that last forever. That's what we have the opportunity to give to our family and friends. Pass on to them the forever stuff. 2 Peter 2:21, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back. This is speaking of some apostates, some people who had turned from the faith. They seemingly were believers, but they weren't. It says, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. Now, that's what, when you receive God's words, that's what happens. The holy commandment is delivered to you. To little old you, to little old me, who the sinfulness in my life, the we're rescued from darkness to his marvelous light, still frames of dust, feet of clay. We've looked at in James, we're just vapors or a mist. But what did God deliver to you according to that verse? Somebody tell me. Come on. The holy commandment. You see how that, what could we say, elevates the game?
Where are you at?
Yeah. What page are you on?
No, I meant in the book.
In the book.
19. What?
19.
Okay.
Right here. Where is that?
19.
Well, those earlier on 19, yeah. Yeah, here's where we're going to be eventually. Here's rocket science. So, sorry.
Okay.
But thank you for calling my attention to that. I thought maybe the verse wasn't up on the screen. And then one other one. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Couple of things there. How did we get it again? It was delivered to us. Just like everything Paul had, he said, what I received, it was delivered to me, I received, we passed it on. And then this too, that we contend for the faith. There is only one way of salvation. There are false teachings, there are false prophets, and many of them are very slick. They'll use a Bible that we're fond of to try to make a connection, but it all comes down to Jesus Christ. It all comes down to Jesus Christ. And we are to contend. We're not to be obnoxious and arrogant and prideful and all of those things, but we do contend. Whether it's a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, someone we're witnessing with, it's like, well, don't we all go to the same place? No, we contend for the faith. No, we don't. Don't all religions, isn't Allah the same as God? No, we contend for the faith. No, I'm sorry, but no, Allah that you're speaking of is not our God. And there is only one way. We contend for the faith that was once delivered for all of us. Okay. Here we are in the book, and this is page 26. So you can see that biblical approach, not rocket science. Now, we looked at practical considerations. Do I study the Bible? Why do I study the Bible? How do I study the Bible? Where did I learn to study the Bible? We've talked about that. So what is our purpose in Bible study? Why study? Well, we need to know God, don't we? Now, it sounds simplistic. It's not simplistic. It's simple. And because it's simple, it's not necessarily easy. There's a difference between simple and easy. But it is simple. How do we know God? The Bible. There's lots of other books of wisdom literature. There's Quran. There's the writings of Joseph Smith. But that's not how you know God. There's one book. There's one book. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We need to know what God offers. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we see that God offers life. And he offers life, and he offers life even more abundantly. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Well, what else do we need to know? We need to know the will of God. We know the will of God by knowing the word of God. And it's like we have this database, the divine information, and we're always letting God refresh what we know, transformed by the renewing of our minds. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing, admonishing. Hey, Lee, would you read these nice and loud for me, all these right here?
Colossians 3:16 down.
All the way through Psalm 143:10. Nice and loud.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
Okay. So we need to know God. We need to know God's will. We need to know that God tells us to live by His words. The Bible is the ultimate in interactive learning. You don't learn the Bible just by doing. You don't learn the Bible just by intellectually grasping the concepts. I mean, it's just very solid. These words are living. It works back and forth. We study the scripture. We get the direction we need to go, and then we live that to truly understand God's point. And that's what he's speaking of in Deuteronomy 8:3, and then Christ quoted part of that in Matthew 4:4. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And God tells us to obey, keep his words. Do I have a volunteer to read those out nice and loud? This next section. We got through 1 John 2, 3-5. You got it in you, Shirley?
Yeah. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him."
So what does that section, what does that tell us really about obedience and our relationship to God? Well, if you don't obey God, do you know him? Nope. Nope.
Walk to walk.
What do we say sometimes though? Well, what will sometimes somebody say to you? It seems like we hear this more and more too. Don't judge me. What would we have? What kind of response could we have to that? If someone said, "Well, I know God, but they're living in open disobedience," and we would say, "Well, if you know God, if you love God, why aren't you obeying Him? Don't judge me." What would we say? What would be a good response?
God has already judged you.
We're not judging anyone. I mean, now we could, you know. A person could be judging someone, but no, that's not judging someone. That's just looking, see, to this source that's outside of me. It's outside of you. That's not something we came up with. That's what God says. So if you're not, then, and it says, this is down here at the end, it says, "By this we may know that we are in him." And I actually think it's speaking of a couple of things. I think it's speaking of, do we have a relationship? And do we know we have a relationship? Because I think there is a difference between eternal security and assurance. Eternal security, you've got it or you don't have it. Assurance, you may be in Christ, but you don't know it because of your lifestyle. And one, you know, we sometimes want to, we'll go for assurance of salvation or prove eternal security. Well, I've got my Bible and I can turn on the inside pages. And what do we have written down? You guys have heard this. Maybe you've done it.
Notes, your own notes, and you look at the notes later and you skip the part.
Well, what I'm speaking of here, first of all, is our salvation experience. I trusted in Christ on June the 6th at 7 p.m. on 1979. Is that what you're going to count on for your salvation? Would that be even biblical to count on that for your salvation? Is it wrong to write that in your Bible? Can it be an encouragement? This is true. But that's not what you want to count on. You won't have, it's what we have these different things. So if what we're getting out of our Bible, see, this is what we're looking at. If why are we approaching God through His Word? Because we need to know these things. Lastly, in this section, is we need to be prepared for service. We need God's instruction and correction to be prepared for service. Donna, do you feel like sounding that verse out?
Mm-hmm. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
If we want to serve God in the way that God would have us to serve Him, from this verse, what do we take from that?
Man of God gets built up by the Word.
It gets built up by the Word. What does it say specifically?
It's profitable for these things, teaching and reproof.
Teaching.
Training righteousness.
Should we expect to be reproved? If I'm doing my job as pastor of the church, should you expect me at times to reprove you?
Absolutely.
To correct you? To train in righteousness? It's all there. It's all there. When I go to God's Word, and folks, if you want to make a tie, a lot of times it's like someone, and it's like their spiritual life, it's like it's flatlining. It's like if you ever seen that picture of the sailboat and it's in the doldrums. Who can tell me what the doldrums are? Speak, not like I know anything about sailing, but just I do am familiar with this illustration analogy.
Yes, what it is.
The doldrums?
When the sea goes dead flat, you can't get any wind in your sails. You're sitting there.
No wind. No wind at all. It's flat. You're right there. And we'll say, well, I'm in the doldrums. Christ said, you know, we could have abundant life. Well, maybe we're not following God. We're not listening to Him. We're not obeying Him. We're not being corrected. We're going to His Word. And all we go to His Word, we're looking for a what? It starts with a B. Now you got to get this one for me. Blessing. How many times? Well, we'll go to God's Word for a blessing. Now, will you get blessed if you go to God's Word with the right heart? Yeah, we will. But this abundance comes when Christ is leading us along the path, when we're obeying Him, when He's correcting us, when He's training us. He's taking us to places we would never have chosen, and we get there. And it's like, wow, I'm glad God led me in this direction. Okay. Chapter 1. What was chapter 1? Establish a biblical purpose in our approach to God's Word. Chapter 2. Establish a biblical foundation in our foundation direction in our approach. What should be our approach to Bible study? Somebody read that for me, Proverbs 2, 1 to 6.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to the wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding.
Okay. Now, we don't want to get into a semantics exercise, but we get wisdom from the Bible, but our intent should be we're going to the Bible to get wisdom from whom? From God. Now that sounds so simple, but do we have that? When we read our Bibles, are we expecting God to speak wisdom to us? You see how it can change the complexion of what we have? And so instead of I'm just reading the Bible and it's boring, and it's like, no, it's the most interactive. It's the ultimate in being interactive. And you are there, and God will speak to us through His words. But it is work. If you receive words, treasure the words, make your ear attentive, incline your heart, call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, seek it like silver, search for it as hidden treasures. there's some effort there. There's a pursuit. There's a pursuit of God there and his truth. We must receive the word of God as the word of God, not as the word of men. And who's this text referring to? It's the Bereans, wasn't it? Would somebody read that for me?
And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers.
So, if we actually have that vision of the Bible is God's word, that the more and more that becomes a reality, how much do we want to fiddle around with the words of God? I think we better make sure.
And it's supposed to add or take away.
Don't add or take away. And we can be pretty subtle sometimes in the way that we add or take away. But the thing is are we humbled before God? It's back to that we're delivery boys and girls. Are we delivering the message that we received? That's the whole thing. That's my whole purpose. I get up here a little bit later this morning is to deliver what I've received. I don't have to make it cute. I don't have to make it fancy or complicated or sophisticated. If I can deliver God's message, I feel very, very satisfied. That's my joy, my sense of purpose, accomplishment as to my calling. That's not just the pastor of the church. To each one of us, we have this tremendous. You know, I've got these calendars made at home, and I didn't bring them today. I maybe next week. I don't know. I thought it was going to be this week. I was going to print them and put them in the bulletin. But sometimes when I wait, if I sense it's not quite God's timing, then I have more thoughts gel. So I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen. But here's the calendar that I have. It's got 31 days on it. And it's marked, it looks like a calendar. It's marked 1 to 31, but there's no month on it. There's no year. But what I'm intend to do with that is that just you stick it on your refrigerator and every day you cross off or you check mark it or whatever, with the thought being, and what it says in each day is to the glory of God. And my purpose in that is the stewardship that we have every minute, every hour, every day. I don't know what we could compare, but let's just throw out as far as investing in our treasure in heaven, throw out this investment idea. What if someone told you for every penny you invested in this stock that they would guarantee you would get $1,000 in return? Would you be pretty inclined to take that penny and invest it? Now, I want to, again, thinking realistically, thinking biblically, our lives are just a mist, right? They're just a vapor. But if we breathe all day, this isn't one more day we have to bring glory to God, to honor God, to lay up treasure in heaven in the things we do. That treasure is exponential, I believe, in our minds that we will see in heaven. These treasures that God, I want to steal my thunder from later, but we're going to talk about poor investment, the rich people there that James speaks against. But if we could just get this sense of vision that every day I have, so it's not like, oh, look at all the opportunity I have if I'm 23 years old. You may not live to be 24. It's not guaranteed that we're here tomorrow. So we've got to change this mindset. Well, I'm 50, or I'm 60, or I'm 70, or 80, or almost 100. You've got another day to bring glory to God. And I think that is very meaningful. You know, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. And so we have to just, everything we do to present, well, here, hang on a second. Yeah, the Word of God as the Word of God. And so we treasure that. So every day we have to honor God in that, to bring glory to God in that. These days that we have, even though our lives are just a whisper of vapor, they're meaningful. We must be diligent in our efforts to accurately handle the word of truth. I think we've covered that more than once. We must know that there is nowhere else to go for eternal truth. Would someone read this, John 6, 68 and 69, nice and loud?
Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God."
What was the context for that? You don't have to be real specific.
Where he was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and it was offending some, and they were falling away. They stopped following Jesus.
Christ, if he's Jesus, so he can talk like that. But just from a human perspective, now understand what I'm saying. It did sound weird, didn't it? All righty, you can eat my flesh and drink my blood. They're like, this is so hard. And a bunch of them just said, see you later. With us, though, it's like, I don't understand that. What I do understand is what Peter understood. There's nowhere else to go for the eternal words. You follow what I'm saying with you? See? You see what's in that verse captures? You have the words of eternal life. And that's what he had. It's like this other, because I think when Christ said it, well, are you going to turn away too? Are you going to walk away too? And they might have, if they'd have been completely honest, said, well, crossed my mind. But it's like we as on our spiritual journey, but it's like, where else would we go? Do you have that attitude? Where else? We've got the right place. It is God's holy word. What might we do to undermine our approach to Bible study? We tend to stray from the path. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That we do, that is our tendency. By default, our tendency, it's just like if you're driving. What happens if you're driving down the road and you just close your eyes and let go of the steering wheel? Now, if your car will be, if you got your car and it's nice and solid, it'll be true for a while, won't it? But you probably wouldn't want to keep your eyes closed very long, would you? Hands off the wheel. No. Because we're going to go astray. That's why we need constant God's word in our lives, just reminding us, and even things that we know. If you're reading through your Bible, things that you know, but the clarity and the power and the specific nature of it, the what it just comes and it does this correcting and rebuking and reproving. We think we know the way, but we don't, and this is a killer. If we come to Scripture, I've got that, I've got that, I've got that. Oh, I know, and then especially if that attitude infiltrates our mindset enough where we may have to adjust a little bit what God is saying. And we're going to begin tonight the answers in Genesis. This is what a lot of people have done in Genesis 1 through 11. That, okay, well, that can't really be true. So here's an interpretation I will come up with. God really couldn't have done this in 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. So we will have to be creative in our explanations of that. Proverbs 16:25, do we believe that we can be there? There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. In the Message, Proverbs 14:12, it's basically the same verse. There's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. What we've done, I believe, in the past is we've looked at that verse and it's like, that was before salvation. That doesn't still apply. No, it does. We still have that tendency. We still have that tendency to go with what seems right. Where you know you're clicking, you know when you got your A game going, is when seems right goes off to the side and what is right is the black and white of Scripture. What are we going to pray for as we finish today? We got one minute.